Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ohio State, Michigan is on the radar coming up at noon tomorrow. And to preview things from the Michigan side of things, we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome in Ashley Bostock from the Toledo Blade. She covers Michigan, the Wolverines, doing a number of different things and doing a terrific job with Toledo Blade. What's up, Ashley?
Oh, you guys are way too nice to me, but thank you. I will take any compliment that I can get.
Well, that's the only way I knew I could get you on this late at night. Is I throw a bunch of compliments at you and hopefully cross my fingers someone will say, yes, I will join you at 9 o'clock, but we do welcome you, so thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course.
So I was reading through your latest over at the Toledo Blade, and some of the discussion is about Michigan essentially now defining their season by the Ohio State game because they're not in a position where they're going to be making the playoffs. They've had a couple of tough losses, Wisconsin, Penn State, as you wrote. So what is the mood now, knowing that this team is, again, going to be playing for something that they would prefer not to be playing for, and that's just the pride of trying to beat Ohio State and trying to do that for the first time for poor Jim Harbaugh in his career as a coach?
Right, and I mean, it's kind of like what I said in the story, that at this point there really isn't anything of their big goals left, which were obviously to play for a conference championship, to make a college football playoff berth. All that stuff kind of ended with the loss to Penn State. But that's also when you look at this team, when they've been playing their best football, has obviously been since the second half of the Penn State game. So really we're kind of talking this week that, yeah, like those big goals are gone and there's not the same at stake as there was last year when they went to Columbus as the favorites and, you know, the winner was going to go to Indianapolis and probably, you know, potentially the college football playoffs if that was Michigan. So the stakes aren't the same at all, but, you know, these guys know that this game defines so much for the program. And obviously each year when their losing streak continues in it, the stakes get a little bit higher in that regard, even if there aren't those same stakes for championships this year that there were last year.
What's the sense of just players knowing you have these streaks, they continue, and no one wants to be the team that continuously lost throughout their entire career to Ohio State. So when guys talk about it being, you know, big for them to go out and establish this win and play for pride more than anything else, do you actually get the sense that they actually mean it more so than maybe in the past when you'd hear that it's like a cliche?
So it is kind of tough covering this team. And like, I always tell people, you know, they seem very concerned as a program, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, about not giving opposition bulletin board material. This is not the same team that came out talking about a revenge tour or guaranteeing wins last year. There was really none of that this year. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, when he talked on Monday, talked for 12 minutes and didn't really say much of anything. So honestly, a lot of times when they are talking about these rivalry games, it kind of does come off as cliche, but that's just the way the program is. And, you know, that's actually been probably the biggest criticism of Jim Harbaugh since he got to Michigan as far as this rivalry is concerned, in that when you go into Schembechler Hall during Ohio State week, it kind of feels like any other week. So that's kind of where Michigan fans, I think, get a little frustrated, because they want to see Michigan treat it the way that Ohio State treats it, you know, where they're talking about the team up north drill and the countdown clock that they have. And I'm sure Michigan does certain things. Like, we know one thing is they don't wear red ever in practice throughout the season, but they're a lot less open with that stuff and kind of do give you those cliches when you're covering the team. Just, again, I think a lot of it is not wanting to give away bulletin board material to the opposition.
Do you think because I've read a lot about Michigan being, yes, they've improved the past four games, but just being a little bit different, the different sense to them. Obviously, they picked up a couple of big wins, big as far as more than 30 points on the average over Notre Dame and Michigan State. Do you think that are they playing at a different level here? What do you think has been at the center of the way that they played here recently?
You know, it's just kind of hard to tell for me. Like, and it's funny because I picked Ohio State to win when we wrote our predictions, and I picked Ohio State to win by a lot, actually. But, you know, over the last, like, couple hours or so, I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, could they pull this off just because there's this whole narrative with the similarities surrounding the 1969 team when Bo Schembechler's squad took down maybe one of the best Ohio State teams of all time, you know? So that has kind of been going through my mind. But from a football standpoint, you look at the numbers, like there's nothing to back that up. Ohio State is better in almost every category. The one number I've pointed to recently is their second option on the ground. Master Teague has like 100 more rushing yards than Michigan's leading rusher. So that's the kind of difference that we're talking about here. So overall, though, it's like they haven't necessarily played anyone to Ohio State's caliber. Like when Notre Dame came in, I wasn't super blown away by them coming into that game. And like, they kind of proved everyone's suspicions watching them that this maybe wasn't a top 10 team. And you know, obviously Michigan State's having the year that they're having. Penn State almost blew the game, but you know, Michigan was still able to pull it off. Michigan couldn't close out at the end. So really, I don't know if there has been anyone similar to Ohio State's caliber. And obviously, they do look better from that, what was a really embarrassing Wisconsin loss. But overall, you know, it's kind of hard to say just because I think Ohio State is in a different stratosphere at this point.
We're chatting with Ashley Bostock from the Toledo Blade, covers Michigan Wolverines on a number of different levels. I'll ask you an easy one, Ashley. How does Michigan stop Chase Young?
You know, that is going to be the toughest test for the offensive line, and it's obviously something that has to happen if Michigan is going to pull off the upset. And
everyone can do it. Yeah, there's no problem. Just stop Chase Young. No problem.
I'm just not super confident that this offensive line has shown me enough throughout the year to make me think that they can do it. And obviously, this guy came back against Penn State and from a two-game suspension, and all he did was put up a career game with like 9 tackles and 3 sacks. And, you know, the Michigan offensive line, especially earlier in the year, seemed like they were having problems athletically with moving to allow runners to get off the edge. Like that was one of the biggest issues, and they just keep sending running backs up the middle. Now that's tapered off a little bit. And I think maybe this is the best the offensive line is playing. John Runyon, Michigan's left tackle, is going to have a long afternoon ahead of him. Now, everyone points to Michigan did do a decent job with A.J. Epineza out of Iowa, who coming into that game, I think, only had like 1 sack. So, again, this is just another example of Ohio State being on a completely different level, I think, than any other opponent that Michigan has had, because this is a pass rusher unlike any other pass rusher that they faced this season.
Jim Harbaugh is trying to avoid going 0-5 against the Buckeyes. What is the sense around the team is one thing, but just around the entire school of the job that Jim Harbaugh has done. A lot of this is judged on how you do against Ohio State, and he's not done so well. So what is the feeling just around Harbaugh and the job that he continues to do?
So I think there is obviously that typical frustration, and it's the criticism that is kind of lobbed his way the most, that he doesn't perform against rivals, he doesn't perform against top 10 teams, he doesn't perform when they're underdogs, he really doesn't perform when they're underdogs on the road, and all that stuff kind of mounts. But I think at the same time, Jim Harbaugh, at least right now, his job is always going to be safe in Michigan until he decides he wants to do something else. Because at the end of the day, who is going to come there and kind of stop this, you know, this slide at this point, this skid? And, you know, that's a bigger question for Michigan, is he was kind of viewed as the Messiah coming back to them. So when your Messiah doesn't work out, where do you go from there? And I don't necessarily know the answer to that. I think this turnaround in the second half of the season has kind of made fans a little bit more optimistic, because after that Wisconsin loss, I mean, the message boards were going off the rails. Like, fans were really, like, beside themselves after that.
What were you doing on message boards, Ashley? You know better than that.
I wasn't posting on them, but I do know, like, our columnists found a couple of great quotes, like, it's just all that kind of stuff. These fans, the Michigan fans, were really beside themselves after that game in particular. So I don't troll the message boards, but I do know other reporters that do, and obviously people who work for the blogs who told me all about the conversation and how it was headed towards, you know, maybe our program just, we need to accept that it's on a certain level and Ohio State is on another level.
See,
and that's it.
That's one of the things I've wondered about just over the past several years, because as you said, Jim Harbaugh was brought there to hopefully elevate the school to Ohio State's level and to be a national contender, to make playoffs and just do all the things that Ohio State has done over recent years. And with it not happening, is there any sense of people just thinking that this is it? That this is kind of what you can expect from Michigan. They're going to be really good, but just maybe never great.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that goes back to recruiting, which fans are obviously super aware of now, especially those fans who are active on message boards with the star rankings and everything like that. And I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Ohio State has gotten like significantly more 5- and 4-star recruits over the last few years than Harbaugh and Michigan have gotten. And I think especially now with Greg Madison and Jefferson over at Ohio State now, who left Michigan to go to Ohio State, those are two guys who I think would definitely have some pull in getting some Ohio recruits to maybe stay in Ohio, even more than Ohio State is already doing for Michigan. There's not that many Ohio guys on the roster that play, and the two that do play are special teams guys. So that certainly has helped Ohio State a lot, I think, in keeping those guys from going to Michigan and keeping them in state.
What about the great equalizer tomorrow? What is the weather going to be like?
The weather seems not great, honestly. It sounds like freezing rain. It sounds like some snow, maybe. I honestly am not looking forward to that aspect of it. Thank God I'll be in a press box. But I think the weather, the temperature is supposed to be in like the high 30s, really windy, and then that rain and snow mixture. So Michigan has played really well in its poor weather games so far this season against Notre Dame and then against Indiana last week. So that could work in their favor. But, you know, both of these schools know how to play in the cold and play in the rain, because if you're going to go to school in Michigan or Columbus, you kind of have to know how to do that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see tomorrow. Weather could certainly play a factor in both of these rivalry games that people in Ohio will be focused on. And, of course, Ohio State-Michigan tomorrow at noon. I love the noon kickoffs. I know it's different for a reporter because it means you might have to get up a little bit.
I love the noon kickoffs now. It's so much easier for deadline. It's a lot easier. You get more stories done. Like, everything about noon kickoff is better. Every time there was a night game, I'm like groaning.
Yeah, selfishly.
You know, you're not gonna get a follow feature. Like, you know, you have to rush your game story. But these noon kickoffs, I'm really happy that Fox has chosen to make the big noon game a thing, because it's super helpful for us.
I see. I like it. Even as a fan, I think this game is so much better at noon. It's something about just waking up and then the game's there at noon. I think it's terrific. But selfishly, you are 100% correct. Every writer and reporter wants to get in and out of there, do everything they need to do, and then have the rest of their day. I mean, come on. That's selfishly what we care the most about.
Exactly. And, you know, I actually think I'm probably doing more work for a noon game, but overall it's better. So that's what I'm fine with.
We'll be checking out your work over the Toledo Blade. Ashley Bostock does a terrific job for them. Thanks for taking the time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Be sure to follow her on Twitter as well. She'll have you updated from the Michigan side of things all day tomorrow. And, you know, just helpful to know what the enemy's up to. Keep your friends close and the enemies ever so closer. 216-578-0092. Again, Ashley joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.